sell our property and we build in North Carolina, then you're trying to tell me that I can't rent my property out here because I moved. You shouldn't be able to tell me what to do with my property. I paid for that. You ain't got no investment in my property. I paid for all of that. Now, it's different when you invested in my home and gave me some money to do some projects in my home, and I still owe you some money. Okay, now you can say, well, boy, you still got $30,000 on your property. We gonna hold you for $30,000 until it's paid off. I'll accept that because you gave me some money, and that was invested in your money that you gave me. But you guys ain't gave me no money.
I think because there's city dollars attached to it, I think at least the reason back then was the interest in people owning single family homes and the stability that people believe comes out of that versus there being a number of rentals where people have the same ties or ownership within the community. I think it was to promote that. Whether that's right or whether that's wrong, that is the historic reasoning, from my understanding. Not just to recoup it, as they was there to say, we want to encourage single-family homes if we're going to have city dollars involved in this, right? If city dollars weren't involved with it, there's no pull for us. We can't run up to you and say, hey, this is what you're going to do. But because city dollars are involved, I'm pretty sure neighbors back then said, or residents back then said, if we're going to invest these dollars in, we would like to ensure that it's going to be folks who are owning single ownership of this, whatever you call it, that is going to develop long-term roots in the city and have that perspective versus renters come, renters go. Some stay for 10 years, some don't, right? And I think part of it is making sure you have a city where people are investing. And that is a struggle. That's the reason. I think part of what we're discussing today is what's the information we need to make that determination. You want to go that route, or the route you're saying. I think there's just some people want more information around that so we can make that determination. We're getting that information so we can move forward. Commissioner Wood.
Thank you. I understand your passion. And I'm sure you know some of these homeowners are feeling the same way. Legally, They did agree to it, and we did give them some money, and so it is something that neither party, whether it's the homeowner or the city, maybe could have foreseen that could have been an issue, and so that's why we're at this point having this conversation. We're not in the business of trying to tell people what they should or shouldn't do with their property, and I'm sure all of this council wants to allow, especially, people of color to be able to build wealth as much as possible. I think the conversation here is really around how to best modify and move forward with the program suggestions to be able to allow for the best, balance of what the original intention was and the needs of the homeowners. So I think we've had a good conversation. So I understand your passion, but that's kind of that's where we're at with some good suggestions that we've all put forward tonight.
So I would just say, granted, I don't know if he gave you 2 pages or 3 pages of notes, but I think for the final determination around this issue, I think. Some of the input that was put in front of people, or even what does a waiver process look like, or what would that process look like? Is that a go between, or maybe we just go in one direction definitively, right? But I just think there needs to be more information around that. I think there's some concern around just the impacts it could have since it's clustered in specific areas within those neighborhoods. So I think we get that information then we can. Come to the final conclusion. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Appreciate it. So next, we have discussed the 2024 EDA strategic investment.
at least once a year, is talk to the EDA, just kind of big picture. Are we investing in what the EDA wants to be investing in? And then this helps inform the budget we're bringing forward. So we've already done a lot of work on the EDA budget to present to you in the coming months here. So we're just gonna kind of go over a little bit of what you can anticipate to see. And then, you know, are there any new things that we haven't been talking about that you want to introduce for consideration into that process? So, you know, this thinking is informed by a lot of conversations with staff and council and has with communities. And for this year's budget, because we had quite an ambitious EDA budget in 2023, and as we evaluated our recommendations for the budget for next year, you know, we're not proposing significant changes, but we do have a few ideas and, that you've all brought up this year that are incorporated. So basically, this is, like I said, to inform the budget process. So, Brian, you want to cover?
Yeah. So just to provide context and reminder from the 2023 budget, we are doing a number of strategic initiatives this year that were the directive of the EDA last year and in prior years. As some of this looks, a lot of it looks familiar to you. Examples of this work are economic inclusion work, which I would put in the definition of trying to ensure our residents have a better access to the economy through the Small Business Center, through down payment assistance, and through our Beyond Credit Lending program that the Brooklyn Park Development Corporation runs. We're also working on an anti-displacement task force through the LRT work. We've purchased, obviously, Northland Plaza to try to prevent future rent increases and gentrification of that site. Working with a number of people interested in doing co-ops. We're continuing strong community partnerships through the deployment of the ARP community contracts. Really a labor of love, a lot of work, but really rewarding because it's formalizing partnerships with community organizations through funding opportunities. Lastly, we're really trying to leverage our partnerships with developers to develop some of the EDA-owned land. So these are really four initiatives that have been ongoing throughout 2023. So here's a listing of some of the things we've heard from individual commissioners as well as at commission meetings. And so part of this, too, is to just check our listening and make sure we are incorporating the things that you would like us to do, and particularly if they have a budget impact. So we've heard from the EDA to advance more multifamily housing options, especially market rates, to more assertively engage with the development community, to strive to bring higher end retail to the community, including dining experiences and what I would say destinations. And then also to leverage historic state legislation. This has come up once or twice, that the historic state budget process really provides a lot of opportunity for our city. And then also to market and highlight the assets of Brooklyn Park, particularly our strong middle class. So those things are some of the things we've heard. We've put these into recommended strategic initiatives for next year. This is not unfamiliar to you, I'm sure, but heightened and more attention towards advocacy at the state legislature for changes to tax increment financing and economic development authority legislation to fund more of our priority projects that were on that previous list. So really driving for modernizing some of this, these programs and the legislation to fit our community's needs and just the general needs of the housing market moving forward. The second one is to put resources towards small area planning, marketing, developer relationship resources. So you did approve a staff addition for this particular effort, but it would also include conducting a series of planning efforts in 2024. So that you'll, if we're on the right track, you'll see that in the budget. And then the last one is to create a work plan around housing aid distribution. So one of the big things that came out of the legislature for cities is a direct allocation of dollars from the sales tax, metrowide sales tax increase for affordable housing. So every city in the seven county metro is getting a check from MMB starting in 2024, they've said it's gonna be allocated, doled out the same way as local government aid, which is a check every 6 months to the city, and we are going to need a plan for how to spend that. The preliminary analysis is that in 2024, the city of Brooklyn Park will receive $940,000 for affordable housing. There are $940,000 in 2024, and so that number will go up on an annual basis. So that will be, it'll be a million, basically, you know, give or take, a year. So that's very significant to the EDA and HRA program here. We will be bringing you more information about eligible uses and creating that work plan, because it's a huge, exciting opportunity that we want to be really thoughtful about. And there's not a ton of information about the programs yet and how and what restrictions or guidelines they're going to have. I did include the best thing that we have to date, which is an email from Metro Cities in the packet, and it highlights some of the eligible uses. So if you want to be thinking about that, we could fund our current housing programs with that, or augment our current housing programs. We could develop new housing units with that, but they would need to be income restricted. We could do rental assistance, or we could partner with nonprofits to augment what they're doing in those eligible housing areas. So seems like there's a lot of opportunity within the bounds of the program, and you, again, will have more opportunity to talk about that into 2024 here. So those are the three recommended strategic initiatives. Really what we're looking for from you tonight is, are we on the right track? Is there anything missing? Or do you have any passion projects you collectively want us to be adding to the budget and talking about for 2024?
And I would just add, if you look on page 2 of the staff report, there's the list of the kind of 4 ABC under number 3 work plan creation. There's the 4 kind of big picture categories that we understand these dollars can be used for. So if you have preliminary feedback on that as well, I think that is would be a nice way to talk about, you know, everything else and that too. So we just had some discussion questions outlined here for feedback.
One thing I talked about on the phone with Kim, but I wanted to bring up, be looking at was the NOAA funding from the state. If there's perhaps owners of our NOAA properties that would be willing to take that money. It sounds like there'd be a requirement then to become income restricted, but some of them may not even know it's an option to reinvest in their properties, and some of them are pretty old. But it'd be nice if we could get some money if any of the owners are interested.
Yeah, there are dozens of housing programs coming out or getting augmented, and so that's one for sure. And so that's really like a increased attention to what the state is doing and how those programs are rolling out. But NOAA, I think it's $90 million, 10 carved out for Huntington. So that leaves, I think it's 80 for the rest of the state. And so, yeah, there's opportunities even within that.
A lot of NOAA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I'd want to hear more from the council in terms of that permanent, you know, 940 or whatever they're getting. What they want to do with that long term, I do think, you know, using it to send off. But I also want more information in terms of, you know, I think we have the high level points though. When I look at it, the advocacy, the work plan in terms of all these dollars that are coming from the state, and then the kind of longer term plan for 610 Brooklyn Boulevard. For me, those are the three major bullet points. Is there a place for that 940 or whatever it is to kind of augment that market rate? Or does it need to go towards, because I'm trying to just leverage whatever dollars we get, I want to leverage them as much as possible to bring that market rate or change some of the perception that we're dealing with in Brooklyn Park. So if there are some NOAA properties that really, if know, in a certain section, if they get some dollars and they fix their facade and a little bit of interior, will that have had an outside effect in terms of how that neighborhood feels, right? I would just want more information around that, because 940 can go fast. So how do we leverage it as much as possible? But I think the larger bullet points make sense. I would just, and I know we'll talk about it more, I know you said this stuff and I've read it, but I just want to get my arms around more the dollars that are coming in terms of housing or economic opportunities. What are those? Right? It's just a lot. They did a lot of this. You know, they were a little busier than normal session, right? So how do we get a better understanding of how we're going to use those as a city? And I think sooner than later, so that we can aggressively go after them for the grants, right? And I know we're having some meetings coming up soon, but how do we make sure that we're getting a even a disproportionate amount of money, more than what people think we should? If we're six largest, I want something worth like the fourth or fifth largest, right? So how do we do that? So that's my high level input, because I think if I get too detailed, it's too much. But I think those three points, the advocacy of the capital is going to be huge, and I know we're working through that. The planning for 610 and Brooklyn Park Boulevard makes sense, and then just the work plan on how we use the dollars, which was the previous slide. I think that to my mind covers it. Okay. Any other?
Yeah. So I think when we talk about smart area planning, retail,
what was that? You say small what?
Small area planning.
Oh, that's just small airplane.
Sorry, I'll try to enunciate more. But yeah, I think we need to continue to think more creatively. I've had some conversations, you know, with a couple of you, Jay and Kim, in terms of, you know, building more walkable areas, using village style strategies to be able to help create more destinations, and that can be incorporated with, like I had mentioned earlier, in the arts district, or we had conversations previously around the international, you know, area. So you know, some of those ideas, right, can be incorporated into like themes, rather than just, you know, oh, here's a strip mall here, here's like a box store here, you know what I mean? So let's think a little more like holistically, in terms of village style retail and walkability. And then with like this new money that we're gonna get, whatever we can do, I like some of the what we can spend it on in terms of emergency rental assistance, interest rate reduction, maybe some of the, you know, reinvestments or gap financing, in terms of like helping our residents, you know, be able to improve their situation or get out of a tough spot. So I think we need to set a pot for that, but also at the same time, you know, it'd be great to, you know, to obviously use that money to, like, you know, support some of these other larger programs. But I think setting aside a specific pot for helping people in tough spots and getting over being able to build wealth through either moving into a home or you know, reinvesting into their home. Those would be my priorities.
I would say regarding the small area planning, I think it's just, I agree with you. I just think when we understand better the funding source and the dollars, right, I think Village Creek is very amenable to some of what you're talking about with the restaurants and, you know, cultural center and maybe it's our diversity, I think it's kind of understanding the high level financing aspect of it and what the legislation can be able to do. And then I think that piece fits well into that, right? So I agree with you. I think it's nailing down what that higher level legislative function, tip dollars and all that stuff, how that flows into that. I think with the, now we're talking about some of the programs that the legislators set into helping small homeowners. I think, yes, we lean into that as much as possible, connect our residents to the $940,000, if we say we'll need $10,000 help each, that's 94 people out of 87,000. So it's just, when I think of the scale of it, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do that. I just always say, you know, let's keep it in mind. I do think that sometimes I give it too high level, so I forget that piece. But I just, even if we say it's 5K each to help some people out, right? You know, now you're talking about 180 or 190 something. So, you know, and then people get frustrated because there's 600 people applying for that program and you only help a few hundred. So, you know, keeping that piece in mind, but maybe some state dollars can help with something like that. But I think figuring out the longer model is what's going to really lift people up out of the lack of opportunity that a lot of people are experiencing. It's just, the issue is, you live in Plymouth, live in Minnetonka, here in Chicago, you know, Deerfield, Schaumburg area, some of the nicer areas, right? There's not a ton of nonprofits that exist helping people. There is business, there's restaurants, there's retail, there's a lot of things that are happening. So, as a city, sometimes you have to look and see, is the model that we've been pursuing with a ton of nonprofits and other people coming here to help out, is that really long-term lifting people up out of stuff? Because we've been experimenting with that for 25 or 30 years. Or do we need to be again to build more of an infrastructure that allows people to stay out of it in the first place or get into a certain work stream that allows them to not exist and need those resources. And we're missing a lot of that infrastructure in our city. So that's why I'm so focused on it, is we have to create that longer term. Otherwise, we will build infrastructure that not only doesn't help our tax revenue, but it's designed to just keep people in the next hump, but it doesn't really long term move them into middle class or upper middle class or wealthy or filthy rich. Filthy rich, remember Brooklyn Park, come back.
So, yeah, President, to close, I just really like everything that we're doing. Some of the things that I'm really excited for, you know, is this SBC, obviously. That's a huge project. Want to support Seed Drive. And also some of the youth entrepreneurship initiatives through Brooklyn Park. I think that's awesome. If we could throw more money to help them kind of get going a little bit more. And maybe even some, you know, there's like competitions, you know, that maybe we can help them get to that next level of taking their idea and maybe, you know, we can have we can support them through that like entrepreneurial process, you know, a little bit more. So yeah, my thoughts.
Thank you. And reconvene at our conference.